Welcome to Watch Over,
a podcast devoted to all things Arrow and Felicity.
Featuring myself, Jen, aka J Buffy Angel,
and me, Kelly, aka Callista Wolf.
Be aware we do discuss spoilers
and swear now and then,
but we will always have fun and you will too.
Hey y'all, it's Maddie. Just wanted to give a quick note to a few people that actually listen to this podcast of just kind of what's going on and why there hasn't been an episode in basically forever that actually talked about Arrow and stuff, and that's pretty much my bad. I know Jen and Callie kind of joke about me being the organized one, but we'll say as far as ADHD be ADHDing right now, and we've recorded a ton of episodes and I haven't gotten around to editing them and publishing them. I'm basically releasing our recaps and rewatch of episode season 2, 1 through 4 in kind of one big chunk, kind of like a Netflix binge where it drops several episodes all at once. So you guys enjoy, listen to the back catalog. So there's going to be like 4 episodes being launched today. And then later this week, you'll get our recap of 205. So sorry about the delay. Thank you for listening. We love you. Bye.
What up?
Hey, hey.
What's the news, man?
We are actually podcasting, which is lovely since
I know.
I had a crappy cold last week. And so
Lauren has the flu. So yeah, Nick just took her to urgent care. So she's got a bad cough and a fever. And so I understand.
Yeah. And I kind of got through the tail end of it. And then what was crazy is on Tuesday, all of a sudden, like, my, like, eyes were, like, itchy and red and, like, watering all the time and all of that. And I've literally never had allergies in my entire life. And so I asked him, I was like, if I've never had it before, can your body just, like, after 30 decide, like, nope, we have allergies now?
And she's like,
yeah, it can. I was like, well, that sucks. So we got...
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going, ladies?
Going good.
Yeah. What's new with you?
Oh, nothing.
New? Nothing exciting?
With fighting with my computer.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That's always a struggle.
We're beefing. Well, it's my fault for trying to run such a big game on such a little computer.
You need more power.
I do. I need more power. I'm trying. I'm working, Kyle. I'm like, please. Please.
I mean, on Nick, because, like, our laptop is 10 years old, and it's a painful process using it. And I'm like, dude.
Well, Kyle, the thing that's frustrating is that Kyle agrees that I need a new laptop. Oh. Like, yeah, he said,
does this a lot where he'll, like, agree with you, but he's like, I'm not going to spend the money.
But, like, he's like, there's been no move towards addressing it.
I'm like, it's a moving thing all over again, really.
It is. I'm so used to it at this point. And the kids are like, don't you get annoyed? And I'm like, I'm so far past annoyed. It's ridiculous.
Like, you just don't even. I just
like, yes and no.
I'm just like, I just sit here and exist until he tells me.
Amazing.
Whatever.
just tell me something. All right, so we're talking season 2.
We've made it Woo-hoo! To season 2.
Thank goodness.
It took us however long, but we did it. We got here. I feel like we've climbed
we made
the
it
like a year and a half basically, but like, you
honestly
know...
season 1, it didn't feel that bad when I watched it the first time.
Exactly. Like, we were all enjoyed it enough to stick with it.
Season 1.
That's why
like,
I'd always like I'd get the painful eye rolls whenever I'd see people say season one and season two are the best seasons. I'm like, have you rewatched?
Have you rewatched season one? Lately? You have not.
It's not great.
Two, there's at least a decent argument. Like, I get it. But
two, I understand. Just... Yeah, but one, no, honey, no.
Yeah, two's fine. Two, I don't have a problem with saying is the best season. To me, it's between two and three.
I can't take people seriously who say that. I'm just like, no. You are so unserious.
It was. I was like, why did this take me so long to write these reviews? Because I was like, it was painful. There's so much oral. And now that we're in season two, there's so much less oral.
So it's drastic. Yeah.
It's like, hello, tone shift. It was just like, nope, we know what we're doing now, and this is what we're doing. I don't remember there being that much Felicity in the premiere. Like, that was, I was like, wow, she's like in this.
Yeah, that's where the whole argument where it's more like, where did the shift in stuff happen? Like, we obviously speculate, while they won't necessarily confirm how early in season one it is, but it's for sure heading into season two, it's like, yeah, Laurel is no longer the female lead of this show.
That's what Mark admits to. Mark admits that's what he says to people who ask them. They decided in season one, the season one finale closed the door. They had to wrap up Laurel and Oliver, so they did that. And then season two was always, it was going to build towards Felicity and Oliver. Spoiler alert. But honestly, if you're listening to us, you've probably watched this show before. Oh, yeah.
Then there's our camp that says they panicked while shooting the pilot.
I just feel like season two, Jen, watching live was maybe stupider than I thought. Like, how did I not? Why was I so worried? I was so worried. But then I was worried.
I look back and I have the opposite reaction. I would look back at it and like, how was I so unworried? Like, I was right not to be worried, but like, what at the time was giving me the confidence?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, no. I guess, like, the pilot to me, the pilot just, like, okay, going, like, I'm totally watching with 100% hindsight. So, like, it's totally clouding my thing. But, like, I really did not pick up on, like, I think there was a certain part of me that was like, wow, there is a lot of Oliver and Felicity. This really, I really did not feel for, like, oh, we're going the romantic route. Whether or not they're going to, like, they're going to follow through on it or not, they're definitely addressing it was episode six of season two. So, like, these first five, I don't know.
The difference is that I didn't watch season one when it aired. That I came in a few episodes into season two.
More, yeah.
I went into it and I binged season one.
Yeah.
And I binged the first few episodes and I was like, I think when you watch them close together and you're also, you have that detachment. Sometimes when you are first binging the show, you don't have a necessary attachment to the show, to the characters, to whatever.
No, you haven't spent a week thinking about the episode waiting for a new one. It does impact your mental.
You didn't have to spend a year in Oliver and Laurel land. Yeah. You spent like a week.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're unbiased. You don't have the fandom in your ear on either side. You're just watching it through.
Yeah.
And that when I watched it through, I was like, oh, well, this is obvious.
But see, like, my thing was, I didn't have fandom either. And I was like,
no, but I think you were watching live. And so
I was
totally
watching live. And I was like, this feels super romantic. This feels super, like, they have the hots for each other. Like, the whole episode, we start off right off the bat, Oliver landing. First of all, he rescues Felicity, my favorite thing that Oliver does. From the landmine, and he lands on top of her in a sexual
sweaty
and shirtless, and they make a comment about it because of course she has to, she's Felicity, and I'm like, wow, this is a different energy. How did I not, like, obviously I know I picked up on it and I was very much, these two belong together, but am I hallucinating these things?
Jen, I have a theory.
Teasing, because that's, Callie sent me a bunch of TikToks this week about CW shows that just teased the fan favorite couple. They had amazing chemistry, but they never follow through on it. Like Bellamy and Clark, Supercorp. There was one more. Oh, Barry and any other female that wasn't Iris.
Yes. Silver had the same thought you did. Silver, when she was watching it, she was like, they're not going to do Oliver and Felicity. It's Oliver and Laurel. Oliver and Felicity is the pipe dream. And then I watched it and I was all to her. I was like, but it's right there. Like, they are doing it. Look.
I have a theory.
Again, I'm still like newbie Jen. What the fuck are the comics? I don't know. So he's still in my ear like, it's Black Canary. It's Black Canary.
Right,
like,
right.
Okay. Doesn't seem like it's Black Canary. And they keep Laurel in there. That. I will credit them. They keep Laurel in there just enough. Just enough to like make you question it. Okay, but like, okay, we can get into the episode now. All right,
have a theory. I was waiting for her. So I think there's like, I always love the psychology of like approaching like fandom and like caring about TV this much and always find it interesting. So like Callie, there's the binge element, but also like, if I recall correctly, you weren't really like deep in fandom with any other like TV show that was actively airing at the time, because you were still like the Who that you cared about the most, like
also you have to understand that when I watched it, when I first watched Arrow was right when the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who was airing, in which my favorite Doctor and my favorite companion, the two people I shipped together, were going to be in that 50th together. So I was like primed and engaged in that. And then that let me down so fucking hard at the same time I started watching Arrow. It was like the same fucking week.
And so that way, because it was such a letdown, you were able to kind of devote full energy to this.
Correct. I was like, I don't want to even look or think or talk about that. I'm going to watch this. But I was also had that kind of like, I am detached from fandom at the moment. Like I have no dog in this race. There's nothing to lose by me watching this and saying what I think about it.
Yeah. I will say, as far as like with shipping, there can be like several ships that like you like and sort of kind of care about before like being hardcore like in it, like we were with Olicity as it goes down.
That's rare.
Like it's hard for like, for the basic sanity of people to have that level with multiple pairings and taking that much time of your time and your emotional well-being and like mental energy and all of that.
Yes. You can only do it one at a time.
Yeah. So in this age, like early season two, while we're just starting to care about Olicity a little bit more, I'd say a little less of myself, I'm on the tail end of this, but Jen was very much still in TVD land.
Yeah.
Of like, that was still taking a lot of your emotional.
Oh my God. So much. So
obsessing
much
and thinking about
it. What are we in, Maddie? Am I in season 4?
Okay. So,
is that what correlates?
It's just after season 4? I think it's
just after. Early. Just after. I'm in season 5 for the Vampire Diaries. Oh, yeah. Those were dark fucking days. No wonder I fell in love with this show.
Yeah. But like your mind was also like elsewhere.
I have the PTSD reaction right now, you guys, even thinking about season 5 of the Vampire Diaries. So
no wonder season 2 of Arrow was so good.
It's 4.
It hurts.
I think it's 4.
Is it 4?
Was it 4?
Yeah. So this is first half of 4.
For season 2 or season 1 of Arrow? I was thinking season 2. In season 2
or season 2. Tommy died and Stefan's drowning in the lake. That was the end of season 4. So
yes, that's what I mean.
Season 2 is the beginning of season 5. 4.
Correct.
So season 2, so we're Damon and Alina are screwing on the regular. That's all the show is. It's just sex scene after sex scene, and Stefan is at the bottom of a lake drowning repeatedly. That's where I was at, guys. That's where I was at. So, do you get
what? So, is that why you're not, like, don't have the mental energy to like read into the signs with another show.
I think that was just in so much pain. Honestly, I think that was a lot of it because I just went running to, because like there was a definite shift. I remember Nick saying,
because you were also like Diaries watching them sucks. On the DVR at the same time.
Yeah, basically, I just remember Nick saying the Vampire Diaries sucks, and we started watching Arrow first. Like the Vampire Diaries, we would watch first, and then we would watch Arrow. That was how it went in season one, and now season two, we were watching Arrow first and Vampire Diaries second. So
solid choice.
It was the shift was also happening in my home, and yeah, they provided a great deal. But I was also very like. Because, you know, when you're emotionally abused by Julie Peck, like, you just have no confidence in TV writers.
It's true.
Because your faith is
shattered.
Also, I'm also coming into this with a Joss Whedon tint of, like, nothing I ever want to happen ever is going
to
happen.
Yeah, you kind of get that cynical feel. I remember I'd get so frustrated with
you
people
get
who...
very cynical, and you're like, okay... That was, I think that's why I got so excited and could not stop talking about the show because I had never seen this before where they actually were following through on a guest star.
But you were
chemistry.
You were coming at it from the logical, in my opinion, point of view of this is a thing that's happening. What frustrated me was the people who came in with cynical baggage from former shows and ships who were like, that's what's going to happen to Elicity. Like, they wouldn't even, entertain that something good would happen. And they were always, like, projecting negativity. And I was like, my God, you guys. Let your baggage go.
Like, I missed stuff. Like, I would see scenes, like, for example, where she's like, you know, so Oliver does not want to be the Arrow anymore, the Hood, because Tommy died, and Tommy thought he was a killer, so therefore he can't. His whole mission was a failure, which factual. I mean, it's factual. Like, he lost big time. So he's kind of like down in the dumps and he goes back to the island, which never made sense to me. Why does he go back to the island, guys? Like, what? I don't get it. Why? Like, you couldn't have, like, I'm fine with you wanting to take off somewhere, but like, do you have to like, does it have to be, like, in the middle of the North China Sea? I just feel like he's so dramatic, you know?
A little bit, yeah.
It's like, and okay. Like... So, like, all right, Felicity and Diggle come to get him. Oliver saves Felicity from the, you know, the landmine. We get the hot and sweaty, which is great. And then it was, like, the two of them trying to convince Oliver and Oliver to suit back up. And Felicity has this whole like,
he's well, like, first it's just to get home because like Queen Consolidated
right.
is
that's right because she's getting fired and she needs dental and health
like 30,000 jobs are on the line,
right?
And Lily's... also you have a sister that would like to see you,
right? And Felicity is like the realist for this. She's like, yeah, I'm not 100% here for the Hood, I'm here because I need health insurance. Like,
please.
I mean, I relate to this character so much. I'm like, you are the most accurate representation of humanity ever. So they go back. Obviously, the Glades is like a mess. But what I found interesting was the big shift. And I really didn't get this when I first watched it. I got it when I started the blog and I started to like re-see things from season two, like in GIF form. And I was like, oh, yeah, that did happen. So what essentially happens is he decides to be the Hood again because Thea gets kidnapped. But they connect everything through Felicity. Instead of what they set out on the pilot, which that last scene with Laurel and Oliver, I know I harp on it all the time, but it was so freaking important because they connected his evolution to her evolution. That's all gone. We're not doing that anymore. That's gone. Bye. See ya. Now they're connecting. Felicity has remade the bunker. She has redecorated. It's like a smooth running machine now. It looks pretty. It's all fancy. There's glass cases for suits. And she specially orders an arrow, a bow and arrow for him. And like, it's perfect.
Custom made bow.
Custom made bow. Yep. And she's like, how'd I do? And he's like, it's perfect. So, like, now they're funneling everything, the mission, that she's the connective tissue. She's the one pushing this. She's the one who's like, do something else. Find another way. And that's what he latches onto. He finds another way. And she's the one pushing the idea. She's like, fine. Like, okay, I wanted to find Walter, so I wasn't really super hepped up on, like, the body count. Also, feel the realness on that. That's why I'm always like, people are like, well, you know, Felicity, he lied to her. I'm like, y'all, Felicity jumped on board when he was dropping bodies on the regular. The girl is not Miss Mary Sunshine, okay? Like, she has some dark and twisty, and I like that about her. So don't take it away from her. But now it's all getting funneled through Felicity. And then what they do is they make Laurel mad at the Hood because she blames the Hood for Tommy's death. So now she's hunting the Hood. I'm like, so now technically speaking, Laurel's on the enemy side.
They were not that subtle in the shift.
Not subtle at all. But like stupid season two Jen was just like, huh?
Well, I think there's a lot of truth about everybody coming into this show with baggage from previous shows.
I really do too. And I think you guys are 100% on that.
You see it, but you're like, but I've seen this go pear-shaped so many times. Oh, I mean, there's nothing to make me think that it's not going to do that again.
I mean, I really can't name, can you guys name any other show? I'm sure there's other ones. Like, okay, Dawson's Creek. Dawson's Creek is the next biggest one in my brain where they did not go with plan A, Dawson and Joey. They went with plan B, Joey.
But also, it was at least another principal cast member, though.
Yeah, it was not like this, hi, girl shows up on a Wednesday just to film a scene, and then they just keep asking her back.
I've literally never heard of since and probably never will.
Yeah, I'm sure there's other shows. None that I watched that elevated a guest star, not only to the point of like, I mean, it's one thing to become for a guest star to become a series regular. That happens all the time. But like
number two on the call sheet,
the other cornerstone of
just
the show
takes crown from the lead actress, just comes in, yoinks, that's mine, and like relegates her to, I mean,
stand in a corner and cross your arms, sweetie.
Basically, like, did we even see Laurel? Like, we saw Laurel in, like, two scenes. There were, like, two scenes with Laurel. There was one, which, come on, you guys had to be excited about the Laurel and Oliver scene we get in 201, because it was good.
Oh, yeah.
It was so good.
Where they were like, yeah, that was a fucking mistake.
Yeah, they were like, well, that was a disaster.
That was a mistake, and, like, we can't go back. And
we,
like,
cannot do that again.
They finally said it. They finally said, like, I love what Laurel says because it's all true. She's like, I didn't really like technically cheat on Tommy. Yes, you did. Like, the body wasn't even cold before you were banging Oliver. So I have a real issue with that because I'm like, there's amount of time of respect where you let, like,
we were on a break.
Yeah, like the death. You have to let the death of the relationship. It's like, allow the funeral to take place. Let the body cool before you start hopping into bed.
But this is what
olden times of, like, brother. You wear black for a few weeks and then purple for a few weeks before you can.
We have a mourning period, Elena Gilbert.
But doesn't it make it all the more distasteful when here in a couple episodes time during the Sarah episode, when, like, everybody's trying to make sure that, like, Laurel and Quentin are safe, that Oliver, like, goes to keep Laurel safe and she, like, comes on to him. Don't you remember that?
Oh, yeah. It's, I, like, can't wait for that episode because it's so desperate.
Didn't you just say we were done? But she was clearly boozing by then, so.
Right.
I was
going to
say, she was, like, drunk and on pills.
So. Yeah. But, I mean, listen, the downfall of Laurel is enjoyable in season two, and I'm going to love it. But it was really good. They have the breakup conversation that they needed to
that
have.
They literally,
like,
should have had in the pilot.
Yeah,
they needed to have it in the pilot. Like, this whole, they finally say, we were trying to go back, like, nothing happened, and that is impossible. Too much has happened. We are different. We are different people. We do not work together. And I think from Laurel's standpoint, she realizes, and I will hold to this till the day I die, that she picked the wrong guy. Yeah. That moment when Tommy shows up to save her and he says, I love you. She, if you, the camera, I will give Katie some credit. She, that there was a look there and she's like, fuck a duck. I picked the wrong guy. You were always the one I was supposed to be with. And yep. She can't fix it. Tragic. She can't fix it. Yep. She can't fix that's it. So tragic. She's lost the love of her life. Like, really? Like, Laurel lost the love of her life. Katie Cassidy can go fuck herself for season four. I don't even want to dress that episode. I am just like, it didn't happen. So, because we had the back, remember we had those back, those comic books where they filled in stuff of what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, like, the comic the kind book, of
the in between seasons.
Yeah. So, like, the comic book thing was Oliver goes to Laurel's apartment after Tommy dies, and Quentin's there.
He yells at him.
Yep, and he's just yells at him, and then Laurel doesn't want to see Oliver.
Yes.
Doesn't want to see him.
She's that's crying. What happened.
Yep, and so then he goes to the island, because he's like, well, I've just destroyed everybody's lives again, so I'm going to go to the island and lick my wounds. So really, when they're coming into season two, this is the first time they've seen each other after Tommy died, after the funeral. So it makes total sense. Like, the actual continuity from the comic book to what we saw in season 201 makes total sense. The bullshit that they do in season four is just that. It's
that
bullshit.
Was them ignoring their own canon just to try to make Laurel fans feel better.
Also to make Katie Cassidy happy, which...
Yeah, well,
whatever. Too. Were they really invested in that ever? Like, why are we... Clearly you guys didn't care if she was happy ever, so... Why start then? But yeah. So I love the scene where she tells him, yeah, we're done. We're done. And then Oliver kind of has this, well, I still want you to be in my life, Laurel. And she's like, okay, I'll be in your life. We'll be friends. Let's hold hands. And oh, by the way, I blame the hood for everything and I'm going to arrest him.
Oh, great.
So they really put Laurel on an opposition side of Oliver this season, which is totally intentional.
For sure.
It's totally intentional. So I'm loving it. I'm so excited. So, okay. So, and then there was the little look. Do you guys remember the look when he's talking to Isabel Rochev and he was like, and he's like, she was like, you turned out to be a lot smarter than I thought you were, because he goes to Walter to help save the company. So he owns 50% and she owns 50%. So now we have to deal with Isabel Rochev. And he's like, people fail to see the real me. And the camera pans to Felicity because she's the only one who does see the real
me. Yep.
This good show, stuff. It's just so great.
It wasn't an accident.
It wasn't an accident. It's just so great. And like, it's little stuff like that that you're like, you're watching it, but it's little enough to be like, did I imagine it? It's little enough to like make you question your sanity. It's like, I thought I saw the camera pan that way. She's in the shot. Does that mean she's the only one?
I just think people were too nervous to trust what they could see with their own eyes.
I think,
and I can't blame them for it. I really can't.
No, and I think particularly with the show, people loved this character so much and this relationship so much that they didn't want it. It was going to be soul crushing if it didn't happen. So it was really an emotional self-protection.
Yeah.
I acknowledge I see the things. I see things are happening, but there's no way. They're just going to tease it. They're just teasing it. They're never going to follow through. And they do a really good job of messing with us this season. Season two is like, to me, the biggest screw with Elicity's heads. It's like they take you down one road and then they take you down another road. And by the time you get to the end of the season, you don't know which end is up.
Yeah.
Which is the point.
Because I know with like my show background off, like what I was worrying about is we might get there in a few episodes and then it's like they're a thing for an episode and then it's done.
Yeah, wasn't Silver worried about that too? Like she was like, oh, they're just going to hook up and then
nothing. I also think a lot of people were worried about that.
Yeah, that it was just gonna,
I
like,
think that was a legitimate concern, you know?
Yeah. agree, because you're like, well, I mean, there's multiple routes that they can go. And I think what makes it different, and I give Mark credit, obviously he was running the show, but Berlanti is not the kind of guy to hold on to stuff. So Berlanti is the one who pushed the Joey Dawson Pacey love triangle.
Yes.
The Kevin Williamson left at, like, I want to say,
because Kevin Williamson, because Dawson was Kevin Williamson's self insert.
Yep. So Kevin Williamson is Dawson.
If I was straight, Joey, like, yep,
except he's gay. And Joey. Yeah, was, but I mean,
at the time, he was 100% projecting. Straight. Yeah. Well, but he was projecting himself onto Dawson. You know, yeah, like, he was. And he's like, well, I'm the hero. I get the girl.
Right.
Or whatever. So you I know,
think,
like.
Yeah. And I think he left Dawson's at the end of season one to go do Scream. Because Dawson's Creek was his big hit. So then he left to go do Scream. And then he, once he finished Scream, then he went to The Vampire Diaries. So.
I was going to say, that's one of the few times of, like, someone leaving a TV show to do, like, a movie something where it actually, like, was a good movie.
It went better. Well, it didn't. See, that's the thing. So season two was kind of a disaster zone. So. Oh, no, wait. I'm sorry. It was the beginning of season three. So Kevin Williamson's left at the end of season two. And then at the beginning of season three, he left to go do Scream. So the beginning of season three of Dawson's Creek is a hot mess. Like, I can't even. So then Greg Berlanti comes in as showrunner. And he's like, hey, Katie Holmes and Josh Jackson have a lot of chemistry. Let's put them together. And he created the whole love triangle thing. And it saved the show. It literally saved the show. Like, their ratings were, I think, not great. But, like, from a story-wise, it saved the show. So, and then that's what they fed off of for, what, another 5 years or whatever? Three years? I don't remember how long
it was. Six seasons. So,
yeah. It was 6 seasons. So another 3 years. That's what fueled everything. So he's not the kind of guy, and Mark has said this before, where he holds on to the nuggets. He's like, no, if you got something good, use it. We'll come up with something else later, you know?
And
like,
I think that's where I got some of my confidence from, because I knew this at the time. And okay. I was also a big Pacey Joey fan at the time.
Yes.
And
it is very so much
as soon as I learned that about Berlanti, and I was like, okay, so I can trust this guy that he's going to do this because he sees what I see.
Yep.
You know, like, what I mean?
He is not emotionally invested in the plan. Homeboy will ditch the plan so fast your head will spin if you see something else is working.
I mean, if you can tear Joey away from Dawson, you can get Oliver away from Laurel. Like,
it's the most codependent of codependent relationships, Dawson and Joey.
Yep.
Yep. So, what else did we miss in the episode? Oh, Thea, like, all of a sudden is, like, a together person. That was nice to God. See. Because she really couldn't get worse.
I love, it's just dumb Arrow logic of, like, yes, let's have this 18-year-old run a nightclub.
Run a bar.
Doesn't she go to school? Did she graduate? I'm so confused.
Exactly.
Like, where are we at on the high school degree?
I have such problems with Thea. Like, I think next to Laurel, she's my next least favorite. Really? And it makes me annoyed that, like, all my least favorites on that show were women. But, like, she was so all over the fucking map. It was like,
yeah.
I never got likeable. The sympathetic side of her as much as I got the unsympathetic side. Like, I felt like if you're gonna have somebody react the way that Thea reacted, you have to give us the carrot to go with that. And I don't feel like they ever gave us the carrot.
No, and I do think as we move on into other events and things, they
and honestly, yeah.
Go ahead, Maddie.
Oh, I was just gonna say. Also, I just don't care about Thea and Roy. Of just, they never grabbed me. There's no chemistry.
I liked them. No.
I was ambivalent.
They were just there. It's like I wasn't against them, but I wasn't for them. They were just there.
They were just there, exactly.
Oh, like, certainly I wasn't invested in them enough. Like, that was such a B storyline to me. Like, did I care if Roy found Oliver. Like, I was like, whatever. No. And it was like the same thing over and over again, where you're searching for the vigilante. You shouldn't do that. Oh, yes, I'm going to stop doing it. And then they get back together. And then he starts searching for the vigilante again. And we're having a fight. It's like it, that was on repeat for a good chunk of season two. So,
and then you enter the era of Thea being used for Oliver's man pain. It's just,
that just annoys me, because a lot of the emotional component of where we wanted him filtering his concern and worry, we wanted him filtering that all to Felicity, and Thea becomes like the touchstone of like all of Oliver's emotional like man pain, like you said, like it's all filtered towards Thea, and you're like, I mean, I guess. Like, yeah, you have to save your sister. Fine. Whatever. But, like, it really bothers me in season three. It really bothers me in season three. So, it's a lot about, I'm fighting for Thea. I'm saving Thea. It's like, okay, whatever.
Thea wouldn't cross the street for you, Oliver. Why are you doing? Why are you fighting Ra's al Ghul on a mountain for her?
Like, what are you doing? What is happening? Why are you doing this?
I'm still not over that. We'll get to it at the end of this season, that they lose the Queen's Mansion because she won't sign the
thing. Because she's being a little bitch.
It's not run out of time.
Because you're like, girl, you still need to be rich. Like, yeah, be rich.
You could have donated that house to an orphanage if you didn't want the money. Like Batman. What are you doing? What are you doing? Exactly, just like Batman. I watched Batman this week, and I'm like, man, Arrow really is just this.
I mean, they just rip off the Dark Knight. They just rip off. Right, like...
Batman Begins.
Like, so bad.
It's the CW version of Batman
Begins.
Now we're
into the Joker. We're into the Dark Knight season, so...
Yeah, and it ended with The Dark Knight Rises, which was terrible, and so was Arrow at the end. So it all works.
It all fits. I'm like, the whole Batman comparisons are super fair. I mean,
rip something off that's good. Even if it's not quite there, it's still good.
Yeah, no, ripping off the third. I mean, the first two were good. The third one was awful, but.
The third one that we don't talk about. I watched the third one. I cannot watch that movie through without my brain just like
wandering. Anne Hathaway deserved better.
Listen, Nick and I went to go see it. We were at the cabin, so we went to this small town movie theater. Couldn't understand a damn word. What's his name? Said. Like, we
Bane,
can't even we couldn't understand Bane.
You're sure about that?
There's no closed captioning in a movie theater. So we left, and I was like, I don't know what happened. He's like, me neither. We had to rent it. And then I still had to put on closed captioning.
The whole movie is so long, and it takes place. I was telling Liam this, because he wanted to watch the whole trilogy. So we went through each day we watched one movie.
Oh, and my sweet summer child.
And so when it got to the end, I was like, I think part of the reason it felt like it was so interminable is that so much time passed within the movie as well. Yeah. Like, it took place over a long time, and it just felt like it was dragging on.
Yeah, it was dragging really on. Also, this concept that Bruce Wayne just like shrivels up and dies because of what's her butt. I was like, it's just not good. I didn't like him fighting with. You know, Alfred. I just didn't like any of it. I was like, really? Really? Anyways, so pick better shows.
Stupid.
Pick better movies.
Stupid.
Copy Arrow.
Yet they still wouldn't give us the Dark Knight Rises ending for Oliver, which it was right there, guys.
Oh, can we talk about the island a little bit? Because he's totally backing on Shadow. Go.
When the flashbacks are decent.
This is when the flashbacks get good.
This is so the 1 year that the flashbacks are good.
Yes. And okay. I only like flashbacks from season two.
So Manu was always like, I didn't know where the whole Slade and Shadow thing came from. But no, it's there. Like, okay.
It's right there.
They have a fight training session, and it's very sexually charged. And then she comes back from hunting in season two and the up in the pot in the premiere, and he's like, I love a woman who can cook. And it was like eyes and things, and there was stuff. And Oliver's just oblivious that, like, his best friend is, like, got the hot for his girlfriend.
Thanks, honey. Thanks for my birth.
And it's like, hi, Slade just hit on her, but okay. And she, and, like, Shadow was, like, not into it. There were eyes. She was looking. Yeah. So, and I don't know, I don't really understand why Shadow picks Oliver over
Slade.
At this stage,
yeah.
I think Manu often just didn't pay attention to what the show was actually doing.
I still think Manu, I think he was one of those, like, I have to be exactly the comic book. You know, like, but do you? You don't. So, it's fine. But, yeah. Now it's like, okay, I know I'm a sucker for love triangles. And I am. Like, but it's dealt with in a really good way, I feel like, in the flashbooks. And I think
it was Manu's- like, both sides had chemistry and, like, it was actually enjoyable. I did fast forward through them. Like,
yeah. Every other season. Mandy, did I ever tell you that season one, my mom was like, I just love the fat flashbacks. I wish they were their own show. And I felt like I was adopted. I was like, I don't even know who you are right now. Like, what are you talking about? She's like, oh, they're so much better than present day. I'm like, I don't understand words that you're saying to me. What?
Who are you?
I mean, I don't know what to do with that. I literally was like, I can't talk to you about this because it's insane.
Well, that's a show that would get canceled partway through the third season.
Right. Because... I was like, I don't understand. Oh, my gosh. What is the matter with her? She still stands by it to this day. She's like, no, it's fine.
Four and five flashbacks are truly dreadful.
Season four is really bad, guys.
I have a hard time deciding which flashbacks were the worst. Honestly, they're all really bad.
Four is, I think, takes the cake. Of
four probably does take the cake.
Four is so bad because you can clearly see what the plan was, and I don't know if Steven just was like, I'm not doing that or what. Anyways. And they picked an actress he has no chemistry with
again.
Does the man never test with anybody? Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. Anyways. So, yeah.
Hopefully they test for suits.
So, Oliver is going to be the arrow. Quentin got knocked down to a...
Beat cop,
which is fantastic. And he's all about the arrow now. Because it's like, hey, the Hood tried to save the city. That was solid. So, now he's like Team Hood. So... I think that's about it. That's really what
I always
happens.
Liked Quentin better when he was on our side.
Yeah, I did too. I never like it when they veer him towards the enemy territory. I'm just like, can we just not?
Just let him be dad, because, like, the show needs a dad. Because,
like, to me, it makes
every
sense.
Other parent in the show, well, until we get Mama Smoke, sucks. So
I just remembered what else I have to rant about. It's Laura related.
Rant away.
She joins the prosecutor. So she's a district attorney now.
That's so dumb.
Or, like, why didn't you reopen CNNR, whatever the hell it's called?
CNRI.
Died because your ass was in that building trying to save it. Then he dies, and you're like, oh well, and you go get a new job.
You get the cushy DA job.
This bitch, I can't. Why were we saving paper, Laurel? If it was fine for it to collapse and you were just okay getting a new job, then why were you there? Why did Tommy have to die for your papers? It's just, I hate her so much. It's just, like, what? They really make her unlikable. Like, they go out of their way to make you be like, she's terrible. She's a terrible person.
Yeah. I think, honestly, the audio cutting out a little bit amidst your rage rant kind of works, because it's just, it gets to a level of rage that's, like, not even rational.
They know I'm really upset, and I am just screaming, and they understand that I've reached an like a different octave level.
A peak, yeah.
It can't contain my audio because I'm just
there's
why. Don't understand, guys. I don't understand.
It's just dumb.
It's super dumb, but obviously total tone shift, super jazzed, very excited, can't wait. Season 2 premiere is just a setup, though. We really haven't gotten into, like, the goodies yet.
Yeah, they're just like, we have this person, Isabel. We have this situation, Laurel doing whatever it is she's doing. We've got Oliver with his new mantra.
Yep, new mantra. He's going to be CEO.
Yeah, we've got all this. This is the playing field. Now let's go.
Let's do it.
Oh,
and they have reorientated the whole focus of the show is all about Oliver, Felicity, and Diggle.
Exactly.
Like, they were in it so much.
Two things, and then I think we've covered everything. Okay. A, the beginning of the Felicity glow up. We love to see it.
Ooh, the good clothes, the good hair.
The good clothes are here to stay.
And B, but also this is the gray era because it's good clothes, but not so completely unaffordable that we could look up on Warner.
Yeah, we could. Net everybody actually got find these clothes. Dress.
Yes.
Everybody got one. Except me.
And B, the stunt where they get attacked in the Queen Consolidated Boardroom.
Oh, so good.
And how could I forget that? Yeah. That was iconic.
A huge moment because they fly through the window. And he pushes her hair aside because he can't see her face. And he's terrified. Is she hurt? And he pushes her hair aside to make sure she's okay. And then he sees she's okay. And then he just takes a big, huge sigh of relief.
It's the moment that's used in 1,000 fan vids. From
so like so listen, many.
I've got my issues with Amel. But he did a good job with Steven. Or with Oliver and Felicity. He really did do a good job. He does a really good job with the not scripted moments.
He can do a good look of concern and the softness he has towards Felicity. It's a choice that. Moment.
It's really good. It's really good. Okay, can I tell you what else I was trying to watch this week?
Yes, you can.
J-Lo's music video that's not supposed to be a music video.
Yes.
What is that?
So
the greatest story never told, or this is me now.
Wow. Yes. So it's a visual album that also has like cutscenes with like a billion celebrity cameos and it's excess and it's basically she got Amazon to pay like
$30 million.
$30 million for this. So there's budget and it's just in an insane fever dream.
And it's all like about her relationship with Ben and like she's like, no, it's not. Ben's like, so this is autobiographical. And she's like, it's not autobiographical. It's meta. Like, I don't even think she knows what that word means. And it's like literally the whole thing. It takes you through all of her relationships. So basically she's like, oh, yeah. So I met the love of my life. Then we broke up. And then I just like, you know, pretended I was okay and got married 3 more times. And then, you know, that was all kind of bullshit that I really wasn't okay. And so now this is like my movie to show people the real me. And it's so bad.
But in kind of an amazing way.
I had to shut it off. I just shut it off and I went to the documentary, The Greatest Story Ever Told. The Greatest Love Story Never Told, to which Ben Affleck in it says, but we're telling it. So.
No, it's being actively told right this minute.
It's like
never told yet
in the title, guys. I got you. Like my thing with her is this is why I broke up with you the first time because you make everything so public about the two of you and you like make it all this media attention. That's why he broke up with you and you're doing it again.
I'm over J-Lo.
I'm so over J-Lo.
I feel like I was over J-Lo like 20 years ago.
I was pretty much over. Yeah. So apparently she has not made an album for 20 years. And I was like, that's okay. We didn't miss you.
Like, why is J-Lo playing on my radio right now? Why?
I don't know. Like, the songs aren't good. The dancing was not good. I don't know what happened to the dancing. Because, like, dancing is what she's really good at and it was like not good in the music video and well, I'm calling like it a 50. Music video because it's a music like, video.
Your knees don't work the same anymore.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's a really, really long music video. I'm sorry, Jennifer. That's what we're calling it. So, but what's actually more interesting is the making of it, the documentary. I'm enjoying watching that just because nobody loves J-Lo more than J-Lo.
We love mess. And
it's just messy. And Ben is like her tolerant king who's just like, yeah, all right, whatever. Do your thing. It's fine. Like, he made for her. This is like, this is the problem. Because I remember watching the 2020 interview that they did. And she told Barbara Walters how he proposed. And then he comes in and Barbara's like, oh, Ben, we just heard how you proposed. And he looks at her and he's like, I didn't realize we were sharing that. And he's like totally pissed. So now, in the documentary, he had made her this really nice Christmas gift where he put together all their emails and all their letters and put it into a book. Okay? And that was her Christmas present from 20 years ago. And she has the book out in the studio and is letting everybody read it. So he's like, yeah, people are calling me Penn Affleck because they're reading the letters I wrote to Jennifer. And he's like, I didn't realize we were going to share that. This girl has no filter. And so then she's calling people, trying to get them to be in this music video. And they're like, Taylor Swift is a no. I was like, you asked Taylor Swift to be in this music video? What are you doing with your life? Taylor Swift doesn't have time for this. And like, literally everybody is saying no. And because it's ridiculous. And then Jane Fonda calls her and is just like, so everyone's rooting for this relationship with you and Ben to work out, but like, just a little concerned, like you don't want to be like in people's face with it. So it incites, you know, criticism. Cause that's what you did the last time. And that's why you guys broke up. But actually I am like, I feel really bad for Jennifer Garner is who I feel bad for. Like,
yeah.
And Jennifer Lopez's three other husbands, because she's just like, he's the love of my life. When I lost him, I just lost my best friend. I was like, your children are going to watch this. And Ben Affleck is not their father. It's what's his name?
Mark Anthony.
Mark Anthony. So we just married Mark Anthony for a decade and we didn't love him. Like, I'm confused. And it just feels very like insulting to the mother of Ben's children. Like, it was always supposed to be us. We found our way back to each other. It's like, okay. But you have relationships with the father of your children. And he has a relationship with the wife of his, or the mother of his children. Could we just, like, do we have to throw it in their face? Like, it just feels very insulting. Jennifer Garner drove his ass to rehab like, three times. Where were you during that, J-Lo? You get sober Ben, and sober Ben was never a problem. Jennifer Garner didn't have a problem with sober Ben, but drunk Ben was a huge problem.
Yeah.
And guess who got to drive his ass to rehab? So the Ben that you have now, you can thank Jennifer Garner for that, Ben. That's where I'm at. Sorry, I had to go on my Jennifer Garner rant.
No, I feel better. Jennifer Garner. Just like we're always team Jennifer Garner.
Really, that's where it boils down to, team Jennifer Garner.
Just like we're team.
It was great that she was at Mark Ruffalo's like Walk of Fame, like Hollywood star ceremony, and you're just like, oh, I love it.
I love that.
Like, they're still friends.
Did that really happen? He invited Jennifer Garner.
Yeah.
They did a picture with her hands.
Yeah, they were in that movie. Okay, yeah, that's so cute. I love them. I love them so much. But yeah, I loved Jennifer. And like Jennifer Garner was, I think there was a thing where she was filming. I think J-Lo has a thing with Jennifer Garner because they were filming Daredevil while she was with Ben. And I think she thinks Jen stole Ben from her. Which maybe
give me
she
a break.
Did. But whatever. Maybe if you kept your trap shut about the 14 karat pink diamond ring and the flowers going down the stairs to Barbara Walters, he would have calmed down. And he tried to tell her again. He was like, could we keep things more public the second time around? And then he was kind of like, yeah, that's not going to happen. So I'll just go along with it. Like, I don't really get what his, like, I don't get what he's getting in hooking back up with
her.
Yes.
What is he getting out of this?
What are we doing? Because he's clearly in the documentary really uncomfortable with like this whole thing. And he's like, she's an artist. I'm not going to like, this is what artists do. And like, you know, and she's like, yeah, he's not really comfortable being a muse about this. And then there's, you know, I'm just like, what are we doing here, kids? We're trying to reignite Bennifer after 20 years when nobody cares about Bennifer anymore, which is what you wanted to start
what
with.
I think
is for
like,
people to leave you alone. So just let people leave you alone.
In his crisis, like he started dating like late 20, early 30s girls, and that didn't work and realized,
Fair. Oh,
the benefit of dating someone age appropriate, but let me just find one of the most attractive 50-year-olds and like on the face of the earth.
I just remember what Jennifer Garner said about him. She said, when you are in his sunlight, he casts a very bright light and it's amazing. And she says, but if you are in his shadow, it is very cold. I was like,
that's cutting.
Whew. Yeah. That I think it was a good housekeeping
that
article.
Paints
I just
a picture. That paints
yeah,
a picture.
It really does. So I'm just confused. Also, I still want to know if he has that tattoo on his back.
I think he does.
Does he really? Think about your choices, bud. Okay, what else is new, ladies?
Where is Kate Middleton?
Oh, I know. I'm like worried. Like, I'm like, so all I heard is that she had a miscarriage, which is awful.
No one really knows, but just that she hasn't been seen since Christmas. And like,
I hope this doesn't turn into like a Scientology where David Miske, like the leader of Scientology.
Where's Shelly?
Where did she go? Where's Shelly?
I do a little bit of just with something kind of tragic, but the internet sometimes makes good jokes. Is with the like the downtime before Tortured Poets Department comes out, can the Swifties go ahead and find Kate?
I mean, it is possible. Listen, as a person who has had abdominal surgery multiple times, it is major. And yeah. It takes a long time. Like when they were like, okay, 3 months. Yeah, that's about what it takes to be able to walk and really like function, and you're still in pain. It really takes like a year for the skin to go back to like to have the elasticity return. So like abdominal surgery is like no joke. So that part I totally believed. Like I was like,
but
yeah.
Now since like this kind of the mystery of where is Kate has been going on for a week, you'd think like
she's recovering from surgery. Why is everybody like this is a mystery? It's just because we don't know what surgery she had.
No, because like she wasn't photographed like leaving the hospital, so it's like no one even like there's
oh my gosh, they're the freaking royal family. They can get people in and out when they want,
but
sure.
They, like it's not their procedure though. It's because they compared to like Charles like leaving the hospital and stuff, and so.
That's why I think this is like a more sensitive medical issue that she didn't want to get photographed. I don't think at this point Charles is fine. Like Charles is out there doing his thing while he's getting his cancer treatment. So I'm not fully on board with the conspiracy, but continue. I understand what you're saying.
The only thing that's interesting now is since this is like the speculation and stuff has been going on for well over a week is that they haven't done like just a press statement to say we appreciate like everyone's sympathies while Kate is like home recovering from certain, like they're just not saying anything.
No, they came out a couple times. They said there was an initial release where it said there's Princess is recovering from abdominal surgery. She, you know, appreciates everyone's support and just at this time, please respect her privacy. That came out right away. And then they did another update because William missed a funeral, so people were freaking out that something happened with Kate, so they released another statement that nope, she's still recovering and doing fine.
But there's some fun threads and stuff, but
yeah, I know, but the internet can get a little. I really do think she had some major medical things, so but we'll find out come Easter.
Indeed.
All righty, folks, I gotta go back to work.
Sounds good. That 202 is a fun one of really Oliver Pine Creek it up. So
I know, I'm excited. I'm so happy we're in season two, you guys. It's just the best.
It's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be fun. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye.